Welcome to Torah Simcha with OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Mem Gimel, Chapter 43. The last chapter ended on a negative note. That negativity is countered here at the beginning of this chapter. I would like to take a moment to discuss the structure and divisions within this book of Yeshayahu, which applies to most of Tanakh. The entirety of this Sefer is one continuous text. The Prakim, the chapters, were divided by Christian editors and not Jews, and therefore have no significance other than reference. Part of the basic Christian doctrine, which as we've spoken about, is one of the main things that Yeshayahu comes to refute, is that the Jewish people have sinned and therefore have been rejected by God and replaced as the Jewish people, as the chosen people. With that belief in mind, the Christian editors purposely ended chapters on negative notes as if to say, Hashem did promise redemption to the Jewish people, but then they sinned. When we end on that note, that leaves one with the impression that the positive promises have been undone. When the Sefer is read the way it was intended, it is clear that this is not the case. This chapter is a perfect example. After positive prophecies of the coming of Mashiach in the last chapter, Bnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, again receive rebuke. But that is not at all the end of the story, as we see here. The beginning of this chapter is clearly a follow-up to the last section. And in the way the Sefer is meant to be read, there would be no interruption. Directly after the rebuke of the last chapter would begin the first verse of this one, Va'ata, Ko Amar Hashem, Bro'acha Yaakov, V'yotzracha Yisrael. And now so says Hashem, your creator Yaakov, and the one who created you Israel. Al tira ki galticha, do not be afraid because I have redeemed you. Karasi v'shmecha li'ata, I have called you by my name, you are mine. Rashi specifically connects this to the prophecy at the end of the last chapter. You should feel secure that Hashem does not forsake his people, for I have redeemed you in the past tense. You see that I have redeemed you in the past, so do not fear. That means I will surely redeem you in the future, even from the interminable exile that we are in. Let's continue with verse 2. Ki sa'avor b'mayim itchani. When you pass through water, I am with you. Uvenaharos lo yishtefucha. And through rivers, they will not wash you away. Hashem did great miracles for us in the past that have to do with water, like the splitting of the Red Sea and the splitting of the Jordan River in the time of Joshua. And in the future, kiseleich b'mo'esh lo sechaveh, when you walk through fire, you will not be singed. In the end of days, when fire comes to judge and punish the wicked, I will not destroy you. Ki ani Hashem Elokecha, because I am Hashem your God, Kadosh Yisrael Moshiacha, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Nasati chafrecha Mitzrayim. I gave Egypt as your ransom, Kush usfa tachtecha, and other nations instead of you. In the past, I have directed destruction on these other nations instead of you. These three nations were those that Sancheiriv, who destroyed the 10 tribes in the Book of Kings, was diverted toward before he returned to try and destroy the kingship of Judah. The commentaries explain that Hashem promises here to save the remaining Jewish kingdom of Judah, of Yehuda, by diverting the strength of the Assyrians at that time. Not mutually exclusive, this is also referring to the end of days, the ultimate redemption, when there will be wars between many mighty kings and the Jews will be spared. And why will they be spared? Because in verse 4, Hashem explains, Me'asher yakarti be'inai nichbadita. Because you were precious in my eyes, you were honored, v'ani havticha, and I loved you. V'etein adam tachtecha ulumin tachas nafshecha, and I put others instead of you, and nations in your place. Just as you saw that in the past there were times that it looked like you were headed for sure destruction, and the destruction fell on others and you were spared, so it will continue to be. And because of that, in verse 5, Al tira ki itcha ani, do not be scared because I am with you. Ani mizrach avi zarecha, I from the east will bring your offspring, umima'arav ekabtecha, and from the west I will gather you. This verse is referring to the end of days, which you can tell because it promises the people of Yeshayahu's time that Hashem will gather both their offspring and them together. Meaning, when the time for the great redemption comes, your children, your offspring, your descendants will be redeemed. Also you will be redeemed because you will be revived from the dead. The message here is that all generations will be gathered together. And Yeshayahu continues that Hashem will take them from all over the earth and from all lands. Kol hanikra v'shmi v'lichvodi v'rativ. Everyone who is called by my name and who I have created for my glory, Yitzartiv afas yisiv, who I have fashioned and even made, I will not leave any of them behind. Every Jew is holy, every Jew is precious. They are all called in my name, each one individually. I have fused their destiny with mine, and therefore not even one can be spared. At the end of days, Hashem also deals with the other nations, and he says, Kol ha-goyim nikbatzu yachdav. When the nations of the world are gathered together, ve'ya'asvu le'umim, and they are all assembled, mi vehem yagid zos. Who amongst them can tell of this? Hashem challenges the nations, and he says to them, could you have predicted this? Could you have known that at the end of days, this is what would happen? Yitnu edeyan v'yitzdaku. Let them bring their witnesses that their predictions of the future would come true. Meaning, is this what you thought would happen? Whoever would have predicted that it would be the lowly Jews who would come out on top of at the end? But if they cannot, v'yishma'u v'yomru emes, let them listen to what I am saying and admit that what is true. Meaning, let them admit that all those years that they said that the Jewish people were going to be replaced, that they were wrong. In this argument between Hashem and the nations of the world, there is a place for the Jewish people as well. They are the witnesses, va'atem edi. Hashem tells them, you are the ultimate witnesses who will be able to turn to the rest of the world and testify that the ultimate redemption will come true. And why is this so? Because you as a nation saw the salvation in the miracles that I did in the past. And you will witness the miracles that are soon to happen at the time of Sennacherib and at the end of the Babylonian exile. So, during the long Edomite exile, the Jewish nation itself will be able to testify that the prophecies that Hashem made about the ultimate redemption will come true. Here, the prophet himself seems to be making the very popular argument that the very existence of the Jewish people, the very knowledge of Jewish history, testifies to Hashem's existence and the Jewish people's place in the world. And what is the purpose of this message that we see that the Jewish people have lasted all this time? V'tavinu ki anihu, and understand that I am me, that I am one, and I am the only one above whom there is no one else. Lefane lo notzar el, v'acharai lo yeh. Before me, nothing was created by a God, and after me, nothing will be. Prophecy from Hashem and the salvation of the Jewish people are not just a display of Hashem's power and prowess and subjugation of the nations of the world. They are important because they are the testimony to the ultimate truth of creation, that Hashem is the one and only God, and there is nothing before or after or instead. With that knowledge of our ultimate salvation and that Hashem is the only power who will bring it, we are told in verse 14, Ko amar Hashem go'alechem. So says Hashem, your Redeemer, Kedosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. Lema'anchem shilachti bavela. For your sake, I sent to Babylonia. This is a very interesting verse. According to many commentaries, this is referring to the Jewish people themselves being sent down to Babel. And Hashem's message is lema'anchem. It was for you. Echoing a theme we have seen many times. Far from exile or punishment, being a message that Hashem has rejected us. It is lema'anchem. It is for our own good. Just as a parent must sometimes educate and even punish a child in order to teach them the right way, so too Hashem sent us down to Bavel, sent us away from him, so to speak, not because he rejected us, but because of our sins, he needed to help us to improve. There is another interpretation offered by the Gemara in Megillah, which reads Shilachti not as I sent to Bavel, but I was sent to Bavel. The Gemara explains that this is the way that we should read the verse. Because of your sins, I was sent to Bavel. What does this mean? This is reflective of a principle that when the Jewish people are in exile, Hashem himself is in exile with us. Despite the prophecy of exile, this is really the ultimate comfort. As we saw at the beginning of the chapter, our fate is fused with the fate, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem has promised us that his destiny is infused with ours. Karasi Bishmi, Hashem called us by his name. He intertwined our destiny with his. His love for us is such that he comes into exile with us. Even the negative, his destiny is intertwined with ours. And this really gives us a double comfort. It gives us a comfort that we will obviously be redeemed, but not only a comfort for the future, but a comfort for now, because he is also with us even in exile. So even though we are talking about taking Bnei Yisrael into exile, it ends with Pasuk Tesvav, verse 15, Ani Hashem Kedoshchem. I am Hashem, your Holy One, Borei Yisrael Malkechem, the Creator of Israel, your King. It ends, this prophecy about exile ends with a positive attribution to Hashem. Why? Because we think of exile as only negative and distancing. But there is an aspect of exile itself that is positive. It is a representation of Hashem's connection to us because he comes along with us and he never leaves us. Of course, even with Hashem accompanying us in exile, we do not want to be here. And soon we will not have to be. And that is why the Navi continues describing the great miracles that happened at our nation's inception. So many displays of Hashem's power. And at the end of a list of the great and powerful miracles that Hashem did for us at the beginning of our nationhood, in verse 18, the Navi tells us, Al tizkeru rishonos, don't remember all of those beginning things. All of those miracles that happened at the inception of our nation, don't even think about them. The kadmonios lo tizbonenu. Don't think into these early events. This is confusing, especially given what we've learned in the past few chapters, when more than once the point has been made that the former miracles are our hope, that they indicate to us that Hashem will never forsake us. Why is the Navi now telling us not to even think of them? And this is explained in verse 19. Hineni oseh chadasha. Behold, I am doing something new. Atas yitzmach halo seiduha. Now all sprout. Won't you know about it? There will be a miracle that comes in the future that will so dwarf those of the past that you will not even think of those miracles. According to some, this is the ingathering of the exiles. Logically, because the ingathering of the exiles or the Jewish people from all corners of the earth was referenced earlier in this chapter and also in the last few chapters. According to others, this miracle is the revival of the dead. This is based on the fact that it is called a new miracle, the likes of which has never been seen in all of history. And therefore, the mass revival of the dead would be that kind of miracle. The Talmud in Brachos seems to interpret this verse about the ultimate redemption in general and not about a specific miracle. And the Gemara explains, it is not that we should not think about the great miracles of our past, but the great miracles of the future will be so much greater that those miracles will pale in comparison. The miracles of the future will be so great that verse 20 explains, Techabdeni chayas ha-sadeh, the beasts of the field will honor me. All different types of animals are listed here. Ki nasati v'midbar mayim, because I have put water in the desert, naharos v'yashimo nahashkos ami b'chiri, and rivers in the wilderness to provide drink for my chosen people. Am zu yatzartali, people that I created for me, tihilasi yisaperu, they will declare my praise. When the redemption comes, and we can sing Hashem's praises clearly and loudly and without reservation, Hashem's dominion will be so clear to everyone that even the animals of the field will join in because his dominion is so clear. Despite the fact that we know with certainty that Hashem will return to us, we do not take advantage of the opportunities that we have now to come close to him. And for that, we are rebuked in the remaining verses of the chapter. As it says in verse 22, Velo osi karasi Yaakov, and you did not call to me, Yaakov. Ki agata bi Israel. Why didn't you call to me? Because you tired of me, Israel. And the verses elaborate, you didn't bring me the offerings that you could have brought when the Beis HaMikdash was still around. You did not burden yourselves to obtain the proper materials for offerings. You did not take advantage of the great opportunities to atone for your sins. And so, at the end of Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Ach he'evadti b'chatosecha. Instead, you burdened me with your sins. Like we saw at the end of chapter 42, Hashem does not want to punish us. When we burden him with our sins, we, so to speak, force his hand. In this case, according to Rashi, Hashem is forced, so to speak, to build up the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar in order to destroy the first temple. This makes so much sense based on the principles we have discussed. Hashem wants to be close to us. The Beis HaMikdash was a place where we could come close to us and atone for our sins. But if we were misusing the Beis HaMikdash and ignoring that place of connection, not using it as an opportunity to come close to Him, Hashem was forced, quote unquote, to destroy it in order to give our relationship any hope. Unfortunately, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash puts us in a new quandary. Now our sins are building up because we have no way to atone for them. And therefore, Hashem's comfort to us for this problem in verse 25. Anochi, anochi, humochi, psha'echa lemani. I, and only I, am the one who wipes away your sins for my sake. V'chatosecha lo eskor. And your mistaken sins, the ones that you don't do purposely, I will not even recall. We should not despair from the lack of sacrifices. Hashem wants true service. And if we do that, He, of course, can wipe away our sins without the physical sacrifice. The double Anochi in this verse indicates that it is Hashem's very essence that He forgives Bnei Yisrael. As we have seen throughout this chapter, that our ultimate forgiveness is tied to Hashem's very purpose in this world. But although I will absolutely forgive you, and I will continue to, your sins dictate that you be exiled. As we see in verse 28, I have profaned the holy princes, I have given Yaakov over to devastation, and I have given Yisrael over to blasphemy. This verse describes what kind of punishment each part of Bnei Yisrael will receive, and in this, of course, is a deep lesson for us. Yaakov, the lower part of Bnei Yisrael, the more underdeveloped part of the nation, will be given over to destruction, a more physical punishment, because that is what they value. Yisrael, those who are more elevated spiritually, will be given over the gidufim, to blasphemy. The commentaries explain that the punishment they will receive is actually a spiritual one. They will be punished by being exposed to the denial of Hashem, and that in and of itself will be a punishment for them. We are still, of course, guaranteed that a redemption will come, that will be so great that we will forget our past. But Yeshayahu tells us that the destruction will come first. This will give us the chance to do the work that we need to do before Hashem returns us to Him. Thank you for learning Le'ilui Nishmas Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.